Blog Talk Radio.
It's your first time. It's a pleasure to have you with us. If you've been here before, then you know the usual mayhem that's about to unfold. A shout out to our listeners in India. Today, we have a little piece, a little extra piece or reference in there. And to our supporters in France and Britain, thank you very much. I'm just overwhelmed with that, and so humbled that you we have something to offer to people from the continent and from the island. And our Scandinavian listeners in Norway, thank you. It's like a counterbalance. So I need the Norwegian and Danish contingent, Masonic contingent tuning in and otherwise, to balance off the planet, because we have Australians tuning in as well. So apart from, you know, it's faded, our support from the U.S. of A has faded, and I'm not too sure the reasons why. I would think if from time to time we let slip that we are talking about principles and ethics, and I think we can all perhaps agree that our brethren in the United States deserve our what? I don't know what you say when you see something that's that is so you know, it's like a young man trying to achieve some sense of purpose but not being too authentic with it anymore. Or like the old soldiers that have continued to fight the old battles and haven't moved on. If you feel that way about what's happening, and as some parts of the world are surprised and disappointed, but this is a lesson for us all in defining leadership and telling us and showing us, I guess, how important it is to all purposes. So here on Masonic Effects, we're not going to mock what's going on there. That would be just poor manners. Let's say that as we're broadcasting here from Canada, we can feel especially grateful for the opportunities provided in a country that respects diversification and yet strives to achieve unity under as a nation. Strange times amongst us, where the strangeness and the strain to pull back into a perception of safety is being cycled through again. Isolation being safer has been an idea that's not new. It's been challenged repeatedly through history, and we see the various results. So I sit here today thinking that preparing the program for you, mindful, I'm using this word that sort of troubles me these days, mindful of what we aspire to be and our common purpose and the ability to celebrate that. And so I want to, if you don't mind, I just want to share a little bit with you. And how do you start this? Where I am right now is just an incredibly a beautiful day. I know if it's meager and dusty or cloudy or overcast, I want you to think back, or if you haven't had one of these days, share this. Extend your imagination here today to this kind of a setting. Everything is blossoming around. There's a sweet freshness in the air, and the sun is shining, and the temperature is, right now it's 17, 18 degrees, and it's just very comfortable. So I'll speak with as if this is the way the balance that everybody achieves. I wouldn't know how good this is without going through our famous Canadian winters, and yet I don't find them sort of distracting. They're something that we can anticipate. It gets cold here, and it snows, and then it snows some more, and then we shovel out, and then we call that week. The next week is summer, and then it snows again. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the drift. Here is this is the second day of July, so this is Canada Day 150 plus one. Canada is only 150 years old yesterday, and there were great celebrations and fireworks going on to mark the occasion and speechifying people are flying the Canadian flag, and here we handle about almost a quarter of a million new Canadians every year coming into the country. The country is huge. And yeah, there's parts of some of the provinces that aren't inhabitable just yet, and they're not that appealing. However, not that appealing compared to paradise, perhaps, but it's somebody's paradise, and there are people all over this country that have got a good thing going. So if you're looking to get away from the chatter, the constant and growing amount of noise, maybe it's that then this is a kind of nation for us. This is the kind of a place that we aspire to, because we're yearning to be like your nation, where there is a strong sense of culture. It's not nationalism, it's the culture, where we're able to predict one another. We're like masonry, the world around us, and I say that in all kindness, the world around us is not perfect. As the future unfolds, it's sort of a sloppy process, isn't it? Change is sort of a sloppy process. Improvement has its own, sloppiness and fuzziness about it. It happens gradually and in fits and spurts. Well, we may be more high-minded and thinking ridiculous thoughts for temporarily, that because we're expecting change and we're good and honorable people, then that's just the way it should be and must be. And what's wrong with all these other people that are not like me? Well, the nice thing is, as we get a little wiser, we impart our knowledge to younger men, younger people. And it's not a knowledge that smugness isn't knowledge. It's where we are speaking with some degree of authenticity. And so we learn as we get older that the world is an imperfect and change is imperfect. And so are you and I, but we strive. We're audacious and no more than the Masonic Brotherhood. What does this have to do with India, you might say today? Glad you asked it. I'm reading that. Well, I first scratched my head and said, oh my goodness, we have listeners from India tuning in. This is pretty interesting and unexpectedly a treat. But then we find out that, similar to what's happened in other places around us that we know about, there's still some questions happening in India about the secret and sacred ritual of Masonry. And it's really I think the beauty of the mathematics of Freemasonry that this just continues on. It just it never really changes. That we become a curiosity, and I think the Masonry, as you know, is a process, and and it's imperfect. The process may be well developed, but the people, the raw matter that is being molded or formed or influenced, hopefully influenced. There is no other way. It's that you come for your free will. And it isn't an indoctrination, or, you know, the likes of me wouldn't exist as a Mason, and I feel very pleased and honored to have been made a member of the craft, as many of you will. But there is a diaspora with that reflects the changes that have happened around us in the last 100 years. The chatter and noise of some of our cultures has increased. The stillness that might have been there 150 years ago is now filled with somebody hawking some goods from the marketplace on media. And it's almost as if that's an endless companion, that, you know, the in-law that will just doesn't know when to leave. And so it's always there, ubiquitous, but always challenging, wanting to impart the sense of the marketplace and the capital and the capitalist system, drawing from my pocket, my wallet, to feed what? Not a need, but often a created desire. And it's curious when you get to step back and think that our perspective changes, and our experience in the world lengthens, we begin to notice similarities. And we may have some information that says makes that argument that supports the fatalists. Things are not improving. Things are not getting any better. The world is worse than it was. Well, the fatalists may be able to say that. And of course, any intelligent about it, the intelligence of people that would speak and think that way. But the optimist is the true nature of Masonry and the true nature of mankind, that we pick up after the fire, pick up after the disaster, and rebuild and move on. And some of us do that willingly and better, and others become resigned and feel that somehow we have failed. Well, along the course of life, there are challenges, and none of those challenges happen when we want them to happen. They always occur at the, measure this by yourself. I'm not saying anything telling tales out of school. They always happen when they're least needed, at the worst opportunity, when we're feeling gutted. And why is that? The rest is sort of like the headaches of life, the challenges that happen day by day. I go out to the car, to my car. Yes, I'm lucky to have a car, and it gets me around, and it's polluting the environment. So I have to use a more energy efficient kind of a vehicle and drive less and be more appreciative of the currency that's occurring. I'm going to use that, but come back to the idea of currency as a Masonic currency in a few minutes. But the currency that we're using up right now means that we're going to be in for some pretty major changes coming in our future. And they're going to be imposed on us because of our own lifestyle, collective lifestyle. And it's not that, and it will sweep up the innocents as well as the perpetrators of all of this. It wasn't done. We didn't soil our neighborhood on purpose. It was that there were, of course, our priorities were different. Making that, developing plastics and other chemicals and using processes that created a contamination that at the time we weren't aware have brought us to attention. How much damage and in what way are we inadvertently creating a world that we don't desire? So it's sent our brilliant scientists in all directions looking for the answers. And that means that the noise is greater because we have access to a lot of research and a lot of nonsense and a lot of opinion, a lot of things that that bring about conflict. So as a measure, listeners and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think, is what you're hearing news, is it new to you? And probably it isn't. I would suggest hearing about the bearing witness to the sadness of some family when they've lost somebody. I think that should be a private matter myself. And I can reach out to them in limited ways, but that doesn't mean that I don't care. It means I'm struggling with what the right thing is to talk about the details of and to dishonor somebody in death. I think is something that I don't want to participate with. But in the Masonic standard, to the Masonic standards around us, we can use that kind of a term, can't we? And I'm going to talk a bit more about what that is, what's the highlight of what's the big thrill of Masonry. Today, though, we'll get into a little bit more about the importance of Masonry around the world. And to our brethren in India, welcome. If that's the cause, if it's curiosity that's brought you to us, well, you're welcome to it. Come and take a look and judge for yourself about things Masonic, and know that that we're simply trying to be thoughtful and reasonable about ourselves. But as William Shakespeare once said, and so from hour to hour we ripe and ripe, and then from hour to hour we rot and rot, and thereby hangs the tale. We live, we're born, we live, we die. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable formula. Anyway, we've got to have a little bit of Canadian content today just because I'm in that post-Canada Day birthday party mood. And so here we start off the program with one of my favorites, performer, pianist and performer from the west coast of Canada and British Columbia, Diana Krall.
Lost my way. He knows that I my will has disappeared. Now confusion is oh so clear.
That gets us off to a decent start today. Top up your beverage and sit back in your comfortable chair and relax, or light a candle and reach out, extend your imagination for the next hour. We're gonna have a bit of a talk here. I'll get right into the commentary today. Because I've been think about this. Do you notice that there's something about masonry that seems larger than the experience, isn't there? It's almost like that sense when you realize first the potential of something is much greater, and then we think if only we understood, if only that this would be common sense. It's as Oscar Wilde said. Oh, don't get me started on Oscar Wilde, brother Oscar Wilde. He was a Freemason. The only good thing to do with good advice is pass it on. It's never any use to oneself. Yeah. So, I think that makes some good sense in there. But he's also the same kind of person that I think he's a clever man. He said, I think that God, in creating man, somewhat overestimated his ability. Oscar, what are you saying there, friend? That we have to be able to keep ourselves, treat ourselves with a sense of humor, whatever that is. We don't know quite what that is, but to avoid being absorbed. Here, he gives us pearls. Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. So true. So let's keep that in mind, eh? Well, what inspired today's program was I happened to be reading some material and came across this little quote of Wilde's: "To be intelligible is to be found out." It's true. Now, I think, to be strong and open up the potential of masonry. One needs to be a reader. a learner, however you absorb the information, but a reader. You need to be able to read history, and you need to be able to read and pursue biographies and read on sciences and the arts. Yeah. And ask yourself now, if all you read, if all we read in a developing the Masonic mind, this particular philosophy, if all we read is things that agree with us, how in the world is that promoting growth? How? I don't get it. I'm being quite sincere. I'm not being Socratic at all. I just don't understand that. It would be like me only learning about my nation by reading about things written by nationalists. Really? That to me suggests that the ethical pond is a bit shallow. I want to know what the perception of, I want to know all of the perceptions. And out of them, I'll have a stronger sense of a more accurate perception. And that's really what I need, is to be accurate, not to be blinded. So if I keep reading something, it could be, if I keep reading something that reinforces my beliefs, I could be tragically wrong. I could be tragically biased. You know, the Copernicus, they were sentencing him. Big, powerful church sentenced him. You know, the earth was not the center of the universe, and he was sentenced. And, you know, as he's being sentenced, he says, but it moves. You know, what's he to do? It moves. And he knew it, but he was alone. He had a limited science that had not been imparted. And so we see the error of our ways. As Wilde said, the world is a stage, but the play is badly cast. See here, a little appetizer leading up to my commentary for today. And it has to do with just context. I want to be able to put things into perspective as we move along here. And this comes from the work you'll find this in the introduction of a work by Tobias Chertin. And I just admire this man. He's just phenomenal. He has just a phenomenally interesting grasp of purpose and focus. And I just find him delightful. And I'll give you an example of why I think it is. He says there in his introduction to my well-worn copy of Freemasonry, The Reality, which led me to, never mind, let's just say it's worth having a peek. There appear to be three types of books published on Freemasonry. First, those books that cater for lodge members, ritual books, inspiring stories from Masonic history, any number of works in Masonic medals, costume, and memorabilia. And second, books that use elements of Masonic lore to weave speculative stories, stories often couched in sensationalist terms, fun to read but tend to obscure more valid stories behind them. The road of excess leads to the palace of confusion. On the whole, books written for practicing Freemasons tend to play down symbolism, spirituality, and esoteric content. The stress is usually on cementing community and relationships. In speculative books, however, the typical Masonic experience, turning up for monthly meetings and raising funds for charity, seems to get lost altogether. Such is the barrage of half-baked, pseudo-mystical titillation and conspiracy theory. The revelations fail to satisfy the curiosity evoked. There is no revelation, only the hint of one. And these two classes of books are flatly opposed by a third class purported to, quote, reveal the truth behind Freemasonry. These books are usually hostile to the craft. Authors of these books tend to be influenced by the climate of conspiracy of the second class, but find in the mythic confusion nothing but dark intentions. And it is not unknown for hostile authors, those who suppose Freemasons to be involved in immoral activities of covert influence and control, to be forced to invent a kind of superclass of men in black, gnomes of Zurich, Eminences Gris, to explain the obvious innocence and ordinariness of Freemasons. The first exposure of the craft derives from religious fanaticism in the late 17th century. And you might think there was nothing left to expose. Hostile exposures have been enormously influential. They've given Freemasonry the reputation of being a secret society. Secrets are taken to be synonymous with conspiracy. We all have secrets. Are we all conspirators? So then he goes on to talk about, it's not unknown to hear that the 3 degrees of Freemasonry are perfectly okay, if you like that sort of thing. But the dodgy stuff can be found among members of higher degrees, Knights Templar, Rose Croix, and so on. And they attract interest as a result. Though not, I observe huge influences of new recruits who actually want to experience the real thing. The context. So think about, you know, the author gathering together this framework of the workings, the works of Masonry. If not for the disclosures, if not for things being written down, we would know very little about our history. The word of mouth history fades out of memory in a few generations, and we've been around for a few generations. So we see these. It's interesting. We have this again. This is selective amnesia. We don't want to believe that we would be so tiresome as to reveal our secrets, but. My golly, I'll be the first to buy a copy of the material from the 16th century to be able to take a look at it for myself. Of course, thinking that I'm the only one, and I'm honorable, and I'm not going to reveal anything that's in that printed page. I can actually dumb it down enough to believe that type of thing. It's interesting, isn't it? Of the run of 100,000 copies of this book, I'm the only one that really matters. The rest are going to be shipped to a landfill, and nobody outside of the craft will ever see these important words. Well, gee. The fact is, it's the context. How much of this, you know, the taken out of context, I don't know anymore. I can only imagine that it would seem... The content would seem much different taken out of context, taken out of the experience of a person that hasn't gone through the ritual. But that's just the framework for this commentary today. Think about it. Do you agree that, you know, do you think? Yeah, we have purpose, but the potential. Now, this is where I think it gets a little bit of an interesting phenomena. So jump down the rabbit hole with me. Awareness may be the result of spontaneous combustion. Then I wonder what I was thinking about when I came up with that opening sentence. Well, I know exactly what I was thinking about. Awareness may be the result of spontaneous combustion, but more likely it's the product of unrestrained thinking. Where convention did not ask or answer the question, where the think grew impatient, isolated from the mainstream, on the edge, driven by imagination, where Masonry has its roots in the mind. Always. This revelation is known to some, but not others among the gentle craft. Where and why? This answers for us why we promote the richness of our past with such enthusiasm, but have no response to why we accept the outcome of our misplaced enthusiasms. The future of Masonry has the potential for greater feats than anything we can pull from our past. I am an unabashed enthusiast for the Masonic universe to come. The way we are looking at history is changing. Colonialism is being left behind, not so the social and economic disasters left along the trail. Our laboratories have accumulated new tools, new techniques. Our scientists, our thinkers are productions of the Enlightenment and of the Reformation and of the Counter-Reformation and manifestos citing the inalienable right of freedom of thought and freedom of speech. Science and art fold into one another. And we communicate events and thoughts in nanoseconds from the side of the earth. And Masonry knows there is a greater mass of Masonry that has not yet been found, knowing without understanding. It is the grand theory of the craft, if such a thing could exist, speaks to the unseen. Intelligence defined as knowledge, experience without imagination. So isn't our direction about setting aside our history without insulting the Masonic gods? And if they be the traits of man as the Greek gods, petty, powerful, frail, understood, so be it. That may delay but cannot stop gravity that is bending toward us. Pulling us out of orbit is a mass so great, but we aren't seeing it yet. We aren't seeing it yet. The potential. And the interesting part is that it's an influence, but it's not a power. It's not a power. It's not a power in the conventional sense that we're going to take over. It's not the imagination that you can imagine that we have examples of imagination gone sideways around us where there is little thought. So I was considering the other day what it must be like to be a sheep. You know, I've heard people criticize, we're all like sheep. And I think that's a bit insulting and it's a bit bad-mannered, but it's an interesting thought. So I am a sheep, and I may not be the brightest animal in the farmyard. And I see one of my mates get up and walk, and then I realize, hey, walking in that direction must be what I want to do. He's doing it. And then I'm being laughed at because my world is pretty simple. All I do is I'm reactive. I just pick up and follow in. And the next one thinks like me because he's following in or she's following in behind me. Really simple. Really simple. But then I'm not the creature that builds the pens and keeps the coyotes and wolves away from us so that we can grow. I'm not all powerful, and those all powerfuls are mocking us because we just, it's pretty simple. So simple then is wrong, huh? Simple is bad. Simple is to be mocked. The confusion and decay of the complex is to be sought. Masonry, there's something about it. There's something about, so think about being part of having to redefine what power is. Power, the ability to create life. Is that power? Is it, for all that mankind has created, the system of nature around is what it is. It rains and it pours. And if we've created too much heat in our biosphere, it influences weather patterns. And I get that. in a small way and in a big way. I get that. That makes some sense. And if I'm putting particles up in the air, and those are called hydrocarbons, and I didn't know much about them when I was a boy, and now I do, and I know that they create a chemical reaction up in the atmosphere, and then I find out that we're dependent on this thin little envelope of atmosphere around this planet. And then it's like, well, our planet's pretty big and it's spinning, 66,000 kilometers an hour. We're whizzing through here and we're spinning all on our axis, and we're moving around our star and gaining heat from it. And heat creates moisture, and works with the nutrients. And life goes on, and yet I know that all of a sudden I have this ability to be aware and to be conscious, and then I feel a responsibility in part, not a blame. The meager among us can't separate out the difference between responsibility and blame. The weak among us feel that they need to be divorced from that thinking at all. Because I say so, then I have no part in anything. Well, we can't do very much about that. But we can understand. W.L. Wormhurst put it like this. Spiritual quality rather than numbers. Ability to understand the Masonic system and reduce its implication into personal experience, rather than the perfunctory confirmative degrees, are the desiderata of the craft today. Desiderata means something that is needed or wanted. Spiritual quality, an ability to understand the system and reduce its implication into personal experience, rather than the perfunctory confirmative degree of the rites, degrees. He was saying that was what was needed. But he was writing in the... He wrote this, and he... Walter Leslie was born in 1867, yeah? He was writing it for a different time. And it has application. This, the spiritual enlightenment of the human mind, not something we here. Go on to putting this in some other context. So think about the influences around you. This, and while you're doing it, listen to this. This is Becky Biggins, The Nearness of You. I'm sorry, this is a Canadian singer. It's our birthday.
It's not the pale that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. When you're
Nice work. The imagination is what places us apart. Now, I was quite taken by amazed by the work of William Blake. You may have read about his work. If any of you out there are sitting on some references, here I'd like to just do a call out. Send your references, some material you think that would be useful to the program to me. Send them to me. Send the link to me or the titles to me at masoniceffects@gmail.com. It's all one word, masoniceffects@gmail.com. And I'm most appreciative. And thank you for the comments and for the support, by the way. Blake was influenced by some interesting thinkers, and one of them was this German Christian mystic and theologian. His name was Jacob Boehm, and he was considered a very. His ideas are quite interesting. He was born in on the 8th of March, 1575. In Gorlitz, Germany. Gorlitz. Pardon me for mashing the German terms. But here, the reason that it was interesting is that Blake found him inspirational was this theological system that check this out. He thinks the original Adam. Adam and Eve, reflects God's gaze in passive contemplation. Adam is God's imagination until distracted, whereupon he falls into created substance. A second fall occurs in the earthly paradise. The mirror image is clouded. Adam longs for the light. What makes Adam human is a sense of loss, of melancholy. Eventually, however, Jesus, the mediator and savior, will return to restore the original image. Hence, Blake referred to Jesus as Jesus the imagination. Blake intended through art to restore the original image of man. So, around that time when Blake was alive, it was the time of Immanuel Kant, where there was an intellectual search for the boundaries of reason, that which was ungraspable, but had to fit it within the scope or else just be excluded as nonsense. And Kant realized that not everything could be understood through the faculty of reason alone. It's a bit stunning, perhaps. Is it arrogance to think that we should have answers for every question that's posed? Or are there things that we aren't to know or can't know? I put that out there. That's a little advice from you. Wouldn't kill you to give me an opinion on that. But the sense of the vastness of a mountain landscape, for example, is an unsettling effect on our reasonable perception. Something happens which transcends the boundaries. And Kant referred to this phenomenon as the sublime. For William Blake, such an experience was anything but exceptional. He saw infinity in things. So think about Adam as God's imagination. And it was distraction. Now we get asked, what distracted him? That he fell into created substance, something. It was in the imagination. And then you're distracted, and then it becomes substance. And then it's substance, but it's in paradise. And the image is clouded. But the imagination longs for the light. And the imagination senses has this sense of loss. Oh, there used to be light, now it's cloudy. So it feels melancholy. And even though there, you know, we have this sense that there's this essence, this manifestation will restore the original image. Here we have the thinker thinking that it's through art that we restore the original image of man, through art. I love the thinking here. Just absolutely stunning. So is this a valid kind of a premise? Today, I think we have some reason to think that the imagination, where we're going to find answers to some of the profound problems and questions and issues of life, will be in the imagination. Like the work ethic, it's not the same where we are as it was when we were children. In the rural parts of China, where things haven't changed in 1,000 years, this sense of work ethic may still be unchallenged. It may still be, as it always was, a struggle that struggle for survival. In other parts of the world where most of our, we can presume that the advantage of having access to the internet and to be the programs like this is a reflection of some level of mastery over the struggle for survival. The work ethic has changed. And our children's children face an existence that's complicated, much more complicated than yours or mine, much more complicated. And what will guide that? Think about it. Our freedoms have taken us for different reasons. You know, that murky pudding of ethics and responsibilities and principles, it's taken us to a point where there's been reevaluation rather than assumption. Well, all of that is not necessarily bad. Reevaluating the nation where I am means that we have recognized that we were doing some things that were just wrong. And we have to take steps to recreate balance and to gain any kind of credibility and to apologize. It will take ongoing awareness. And we, this population, needs to be the bigger person, needs to have that sense of confidence that we can handle that. As Wilde said, you know, forgive your enemies. It just makes them wild. Now think about this. It's absurd to divide people into good and bad. People are either charming or tedious. I think we know what that thinker was saying. Either charming or tedious. I have, don't we at times become short-tempered or impatient around people that are tedious? So what does that do with that ideal or utopian sense of masonry? Well, we stay away from the ritual until it has special meaning, and then we return, and we rely on people to keep that flame going while the gadflies amongst us go away to contemplate, to try and understand, and then come back to the ritual. But we know that there are so many ritual fires all over the place that kind of diversification is healthy because it won't be extinguished by any one source. And like true friends, some of life, true friends, it stabs us in the front. It doesn't stab us in the back. We try. We do try. But a little sincerity is a dangerous thing, and a great deal of it is absolutely fatal. Absolutely fatal. So as long as morality is simply the attitude we adopt towards people whom we personally dislike, in other words, as long as we don't necessarily have command of ourselves and control the ability to control our emotion, as long as we're making decisions based on emotion rather than some degree of intellectual or objective satisfaction, we're part of that that murky, imperfect probabilities. Probabilities are not exact. We don't live an exact existence. We live according to the laws of probability. Today around me, there's a 40% chance of rain. Right now it's sunny. So remember, in the meantime, while we have much to do, it's important to carry ourselves with some degree of dignity. Let your thoughts calm, and as you sleep, begin to adopt some of the thinking of Carl Jung. Let your thoughts tell your last thoughts as you're drifting off in the sleep, to help you develop a sense of your trueness, of your potential, of your curiosity, of your strengths, and let your dreams take you to those answers. Let your imagination take you to answers that you can't find when you're conscious. Remember, it's a gentleman who never hurts anyone's feelings unintentionally. So if you're a gentleman, there's a little something for you and your partner. How can any partner be expected to be happy with you who insists on treating you as if she or he were a perfectly normal human being? Treat yourself special. That mask, that imagination, that dark mask, give this some thought. That dark matter that's around there, give it some thought. And you'll find in it significant answers. Share with me some of your readings. I'm trying to find the universal material, but you can see that my library should be 10 times the size of what it is. And it's not bad, right? It's not shabby right now, but I rely on you, and thank you very much for your support and your trust and your dedication. And I look forward to joining you again remarkably soon, I hope. And I'll see you in a little while. This is Emily Claire Barlow.
Maybe the sun.
Bye, and post Happy Canada Day for everybody.
But I could swim Loch Lomond and be home in half an hour. Maybe the air gave me the drive, or I'm all aglow and alive. What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Well, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Well, it's almost like being.
I'm
Bye.